Welcome to This Just In, the show bringing you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. And now, for the fastest voice in healthcare, here's your host, Justin Barnes.
Thank you for tuning in, and welcome to This Just In. I'm your host, Justin Barnes. In these segments, I'll bring you the latest advancements in healthcare, strategy, innovation, and public policy. As always, we're broadcasting from the This Just In studios on the Business Radio X network, as well as the Healthcare Now radio network. For this episode, my 231st episode, we have a very special show and welcoming back a very good friend and our producer, Roberta Mullen. Welcome back to the show, Roberta.
Thanks, Justin. It's always great to see you or be with you, actually.
Usually you get to see me nowadays. Kind of cool because we've been together a couple of times. But yeah, it's great to have you back. So I was excited because, you know, we're talking a bit off air here, and we try to do these shows at least two or three times a year to come together, compare notes, talk a little bit about the show, talk a little bit about what we're up to. But also, you know, as you just brought up to me, and I completely forgot, we have a very important anniversary coming up where I guess I'm coming on 6 years of having this show. So
Your first episode aired 11/17/2015.
Wow.
Do you remember who the guest was?
Actually, I'm wrapping my brain. Was it Ben Wilson?
No, let me give you a clue. Bipartisan policy.
Janet Marchibroda.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome.
She kicked off your show at the very beginning. It was right before Thanksgiving 2015, and we were just starting the on-air radio station.
Yeah, she was great. She was always a great ally, and she's technically still is. I'm not sure if she's still leading the BPC, but Bipartisan Policy Center, but she was a great advocate for us in health IT and digital health. So,
well, I'll tell you what, bipartisanship has come a long way since 2015. What do you think?
Oh, boy. I think we have a long
time. Oh, boy. Oh, boy is right.
Actually, I know. I was writing something, and it brought me back to my time on Capitol Hill. We had so much more bipartisanship when I was there, and we did such a great job of moving bills through Congress, getting them signed by the president. And now we just, it's a complete, just a circus. I'm sorry. I'm a positive person, but we did it much better back in the day.
Well, I think when you were there too, the people that were involved on Capitol Hill are actually a lot of the people that are involved in the bipartisan, and Daschle, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're trying to keep it going.
Yeah.
I don't, it's hard. It would be interesting to have the bipartisan people on again after 6 years.
You're right. And actually, that's a great show. And if Jan's still there, she would do it in a heartbeat. So actually, let's put that in the notes field and look into that because that could be great.
Okay. All right. So that was you starting 6 years ago. And through the 6 years, we have kind of kept up with you. You're the host of the show. I know you're doing a lot of different stuff now. You're not on Capitol Hill anymore, but you're doing a lot of stuff. Tell the audience to get us all caught up on what you're doing.
Yeah, it's a great point because I've been doing this now for almost 3 years, or actually I think I'm going up on 3 years exactly, serving on the board of an organization, but really knee deep in not just virtual care, but really digital health in general, and really bringing the extension of care outside the four walls of an organization into communities. You know, it's quote unquote virtual care, but it really is larger than that because we think of virtual care as kind of like telehealth or just, you know, some individual monitoring. But there's a lot, you know, as our healthcare system evolves, there's so much opportunity and it's extremely exciting. It's actually where I've been pushing for many years because it's really where it's a little bit of fee for service, but it's really where value-based care, alternative payment models, and these types of alternative care models in general come together. And it's really managing that patient in its entirety holistically. And so it is about that in-person visit, but it's managing the patient before, during, and after that visit. And that's what I'm knee-deep in today, my company called Cure For You. But that's really where we're going to take, I think, several of these upcoming shows into highlighting best practices that I've been able to be a part of, help create. The think tank brought a lot of this forward. And these are actually a lot of members of the think tank that I work with today. Very fortunate there. So that's really where the last 3 years, I've continued on the radio show But I've really focused heavily back into one organization because it's really where my heart and passion was. But now I look forward to taking all that I've learned and learning to my audience and really bring this forward. Extremely timely as well.
And, you know, when I first met you, you actually worked for Greenway, right?
I did. Greenway for over 11 years. Yes.
Right. And then you went out and were doing some independent stuff, a lot of consulting, you sit on a lot of boards, yes. And now you kind of gone back to the vendor space.
I did.
A lot of in between, right.
Mm-hmm. I have. And the reason being is I love being on boards, but I was young enough and had a lot of energy and I got, you know, fire in the belly still. And I didn't want to sit on boards at this point in my career. I learned a lot during my days at Greenway, my days in Capitol Hill. You know, I was part of a lot of industry associations and there's so many best practices that were, you know, I created during those processes that I learned during those processes. And then we created in 2017, the Health Innovation Think Tank. And so that was a great opportunity to collaborate with over 250 global innovators in every corner of this industry globally. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot during that piece of my lifetime as well. And during that think tank, I met my current business partner, Dr. Monica Bjorberg, who had this great patient engagement virtual care platform and company. And we just kind of hit it off as just great business partners. And it's been a great match. And so that's really where I decided to dive back in and take a lot of those best practices I was learning in the think tank and learning with all this deep collaboration with all these other thought leaders in the industry and then bring them back into an organization and allowing me to focus. That's the biggest thing is when you sit on a lot of boards, you give a lot of advice to other people, but it's hard to implement something on your own. You don't actually get your hands dirty. And I'm just that kind of person who likes to work. I like to get my hands dirty. I like to help teams one-on-one, individually, and build them. And so that's my passion lies. You can hear it in my voice. I talk faster when I start talking about this topic. And that really is why I chose to dive back in starting in 2018. And you know, now it gets even bigger. So it's been a lot of fun.
So when you sent me our email saying you want to talk about digital health, I thought, well, sure, that's a small and precise thing. So obviously, digital health means a lot of things. It really basically is using technology to help improve people's health and wellness. That is the basic definition of digital health.
Yep.
But we've had digital health forever. You know, you've been in this industry. I've actually been in this industry a lot longer than you have. Back in the 1980s, early 1980s, mm-hmm. I was installing the first pharmacy computers.
Oh, wow.
Ever.
That beats me. You beat me.
I know. And interestingly enough, I was installing them in rural Texas.
Oh, wow.
Because in the cities, they actually, in the early 80s, the Walgreens and the CVS, CVS wasn't around there, but the Walgreens mm-hmm. were popping up. In Texas, it was HEB. The grocery stores had the pharmacies. Remember that? But in every other place in the country, the pharmacy was the hub of every rural community. And they started some of the first digital health stuff where they were installing computers. And I use the word very loosely, computers. They were huge Diablo printers, actually,
right.
Like typewriters, actually. And they were storing prescription information. And then when you came back for a refill, they could put that number in and it would pop up. Well, what did that help the patient? Well, faster service, of course, that was the first thing. But the second thing was getting the right medication.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times do you think someone has gotten the wrong medication way back in the early days when they went in for refills and everything else? It was more than you thought. So
right.
that was some of the very first digital health in that the provider was the pharmacist and they were providing this digital health and the person was getting the benefit. It was improving their health and well-being, right?
Yep.
So we've had digital health forever, but it's come along and, you know, the marketing people in our industry will use it and abuse that word forever. And it will morph into a lot of things, but that's what digital health is.
Yeah, no, and you're completely right. And that's, and so when I said I want to talk about digital health, because I do want to start to exactly your point, I want to kind of cement more and to get care providers and organizations and just our industry thinking bigger than we do today. Because we kind of used, you know, we throw on this term virtual care, which is an abused term for you know, almost 10 years now, if not longer, because it really focuses on telehealth and telecare and components of that. You know, telemedicine that we've talked about, but digital health is bigger. And I kind of alluded to it in the beginning. And this is kind of what I want to do a series on this to really, because this is, again, I get really excited because digital health to me does start with what you actually mentioned. And I've been around since, I guess, 95, I started in this industry. So you certainly beat me, but it's really looking at all that we can do with technology. Again, before, during, and after that visit to just bring the most optimal care experience to the patients. What, you know, and very important in this component is the doctor and the staff that support, because one of the biggest issues, we saw this a few weeks ago by the administration launch, how it's now, you know, a national priority around staff nurse shortages and staff shortages in facilities, that's specifically clinical staff and in healthcare and a national emergency. So there's so many components to this. Again, looking at the entire continuum of care, what can be digitized? How do we engage the patient? And, you know, our patients slash they're consumers today more than ever before. We've been talking about that for years, but they're used to this technology in every other aspect of their life almost. So when they do other banking, they do, you know, their travel, it's all done through the, you know, very optimized app and everything's done through an experience. Well, healthcare should be the same and it can be the same. And that's exactly, this is what I do every single day now. I love it. I get very passionate about it, about meeting that patient where they are, not forcing them to do it one way. Not everybody's going to use an app. Not everybody's going to use technology online. Not everybody's going to use texting. Not everybody's going to do, you know, secure messaging. However, you meet the patient where they are. You can really collapse and simplify the life of the care provider and the entire staff. And you can optimize how you communicate and how you provide care for the patients. So this does take less staff. This optimizes your current staff. This makes sure you're only reaching out to the patients that need it at the, you know, the right care at the right time with the right, you know, care plan. So there's components of that that are just really exciting. And that's what I'm going to draw out in the next, you know, 3, 4, or 5 episodes and talk about it so people can think bigger, because telehealth really ballooned with pandemic. And now we're kind of, well, that's virtual care. That's not virtual. You know, that's a component of, that is virtual care in a way, but digital health is so much bigger. And that's what I want to bring forward.
That's right. Virtual care, when you get back to a simple definition, like you have for digital health, you have three components. You have an individual anywhere. You have a physician or a support person remotely.
That's right.
And you have patients that can communicate or be monitored by that support person.
There you go.
So that is not just a Zoom call.
That's right.
So that's all it is. It's two sides of the coin and what they're doing in the middle. So you can be texting your doctor, you're communicating with them. Mm-hmm. You can be, you could have a blood pressure monitor on you all the time. And when it goes off and goes crazy, it alerts the people that are monitoring you, remote patient monitoring. Yeah. All those things are virtual care. You're doing it virtually.
Yep.
The actual having a visit, an office visit over telemedicine or whatever you want to call it. Yep. That's just one part of it. You still are seeing a remote physician and you're in a different place, but that's just one part of it. Anytime you're remotely interacting with that, and there's many different ways to do that, many.
Yep. And
virtual care.
Yes. And the important thing here is, because in really optimizing virtual care is also very important, because we saw in the during the pandemic, it brought to really the forefront, hey, we need to get telehealth installed and we got to be able to, you know, implement this for our patients so we can see patients, hopefully get paid and keep care moving forward. But now there's so many disjointed care strategies out there because they have just stuck in this telehealth product to try to provide some care, some virtual care to their patients. But now we have a lot of cancer patients who put off their care. So there's a lot of issues just in our healthcare system that are starting to bubble up, like, oh my gosh, all these delayed treatments because we're trying to focus and people just delayed their, you know, like I said, cancer screenings and all that because of the pandemic. But now we're going to have an enlargement on that side of the house, I'm afraid. Behavioral health, there's so many components there that are significant issues that are really cropping up. So when you look at, and you can't just dump all these new care pathways onto physicians and care providers without them burning out. They've got to be optimized. And that's kind of what we're doing. We've just stuck in this telehealth thing inside these, mm-hmm. how practices and health systems interact with patients, but it's not optimized. It's not managed properly. And so that's when we have to take a step back and really look, because all we're going to do is burn out our care teams faster. We're already burning them out. And the physician burnout has been a problem for the last 5 to 7 years, but now we're burning them out at a faster rate. And are burning out teams, not just clinicians. We're burning out staff. We can't even provide enough staff to help support all these people that are engaging the practice. And that's why we need to look at digital health at a holistic. Again, it's pre-visit. It's all the optimization of the scheduling, the digital check-in, the pre-care plans, the in-office visit or the remote visit. How do we integrate all of this again? And then all of the post visit activity, the remote monitoring, all of the devices, all of the remote care plans that have got to be integrated in, follow-up information, follow-up appointments, all the AI and machine learning that can go into this platform to optimize this care, help the physician, help keep the patient optimized. So there's so many different components that are really critical, because if you don't do this right, like I mentioned, you will burn out your teams faster. So that's what I'm excited to talk about.
You talk about the word platform. You use the word platform, right?
Yes.
We have since the High Tech Act, and everybody has an EHR now. The physicians have EHRs, yes. Hospitals have EHRs. But now more and more we hear about platforms. And I'm not sure that everybody understands how mm-hmm. that integrates, because we still have the foundation of these EHRs, correct? That's our
correct.
That's where we start,
you
right?
Got it. You got it.
So now I have a platform. I have a platform that helps you
exactly
interoperate. I have a platform this. I have a platform that. So tell us how the platform generation, I'll call it, our insurgence of these platforms. When someone says they have a platform, what actually are they talking about?
Right. That's a phenomenal question. And mm-hmm. we didn't even discuss this off air or anything. So the fact that you're asking that is brilliant, because that's exactly the crux of where I'm going to really help, hopefully highlight and help people and help the industry. So the platform, you're right. Everybody's got a platform, quote unquote. But the problem mm-hmm. is they've deployed a telehealth platform, but it's not integrated into their EHR or into their overall care strategy. So now you have a disjointed care strategy, which we've been in the think tank. We've been talking about that for years. We've got to integrate all these technologies into a single platform. So what you do is you should have deep API-based integration or standards-based interoperability with the EHR. The EHR is the central component for clinical documentation by the provider. And potentially some other staff, clinical staff. However, a lot of all these technologies have got to overlay the EHR and has got to interoperate with it with discrete data. That's critically important. And it should be able to interoperate with multiple EHRs. If it's a single physician practice or if they have one EHR, that's great. But your digital health platform has got to be integrated into the EHR. They should be synonymous in many ways with deep, rich interoperability, because the data's got to flow back and forth. You cannot double key, double enter information. For all the obvious reasons, we got to make this again. We got to collapse the stacks for these offices, health systems, providers, and all their staff. So you look for these systems and platforms that overlay the EHR and can have everything from online scheduling to patient self-scheduling to digital check-in to telehealth to RPM, remote patient monitoring, to remote care management, all the devices that they need, all the follow-up, all the care plans. And even patient support, to be honest, in a lot of cases, because patients can't, mm-hmm. Providers can't offer support to all those different products. So, but all that under a single platform, that's what the fastest growing technology in the industry is. And that's where all providers are going one way or the other. That's what I'm in the middle of every day. So that's really important, because you've got to have all this integrated into one platform, one look and feel for the patient, one look and feel for the provider. They can't bounce between three different systems. They can't have an RPM system over here, use Zoom or a telehealth system here, their EHR over here, and maybe a digital check-in system off to the side. That's what's burning everybody out. today. Mm-hmm. So one platform is all of that fully integrated, single mm-hmm. platform. And that's what the industry is moving towards as quick
and
as
possible. And how do they hook to their HIE to get the information back and forth?
That'll go from the EHR. So right. The data should mm-hmm. flow from the digital health platform that overlays the EHR into the EHR. Now, there's two ways. The EHR very well could feed that HIE if it needs to. Mm-hmm. Or that digital, because that's one of my other best practices. Now you're kind of getting ahead of me in my mm-hmm. shows. Mm-hmm. But no, it's great. You bring it out of me. So it's very important that this digital health platform that I'm talking about has open APIs, has SDK, software developer kit, development kit, that developers can get data out. It needs to be able to open APIs, hopefully use Firebase standards to get data out of these systems. So it could come from the EHR, and EHRs are getting better. You know, Cures Act has helped tremendously. You heard me tell Mickey yeah. and all these coordinators, everybody in ONC, they did a phenomenal job of encouraging and enforcing data to flow or pushing. We want them to enforce more.
So the new rules in ONC are helping this move along.
Significantly.
Okay.
But they also have got to support that on their side, not just EHRs, but all right. platforms. I'm telling these health systems practice, make sure whatever platforms you deploy have open APIs and feed discrete data wherever it needs to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds good. I just think people are very confused on all the stuff that's out there right now. And especially, I mean, hospitals have their IT and CIOs, and they have all the right. people, you know, working for them and can understand this stuff. I think when you move down to the physician level and the small practices and things like that, it's overwhelming. Not only when once they get installed, it's overwhelming to figure out what they need.
Well, I will tell you, you're 100% right. But you know who's the most overwhelmed are these CIOs of these large health systems, because now they went and implemented a telehealth solution that's probably mm-hmm. not integrated into their overall care strategy. Mm-hmm. And now they've got 1,000 doctors or 800 or mm-hmm. 1,500 care providers or 3,000 mm-hmm. care providers using a telehealth product where the notes are not being integrated into the note of the patient. And now
Shame on them, Justin.
Well, this is critical, but they had to throw telehealth up so fast. And now mm-hmm. they've got all these RPM pressures. Their telehealth system's not integrated into their RPM mm-hmm. system. And that data is not flowing back into the EHR. So they're more stressed than anybody, because again, I'm in the middle of all this mm-hmm. and I'm talking to these large health systems, and they're like, where do we even start? Because we've got to now unravel a lot of these technologies that aren't true platforms to bring on a platform. So that's right. what we're in the middle of.
I still say shame on them.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. It was just a reaction.
They're the top of the top of yeah. our industry.
Yep.
Right. Right. Yeah, everybody did throw a lot of stuff at a lot of things when we first started with the pandemic, but we've been into this I think we're going into 18 months now. I mean,
and they are starting mm-hmm. to unwind. I will say that's exactly mm-hmm. why I'm in the middle of these conversations. They are starting mm-hmm. to understand and say, hey, we've got it handled. We got telehealth, you know, rolled up. We're seeing our patients. Now we need to figure out a long-term strategy. They figured out the short-term, and now they're all right, now we need a longer-term strategy.
Yeah.
So they are bringing it back around, but they are extremely stressed. Right. But to your point, these small organizations, you know, they're also mm-hmm. learning this the hard way. And that's why the series is going to come up, is to talk about this and how do you start? Right. Where do you begin?
Well, I think a lot of times you use the technical technology words that are not really layman's words or in medicine, like platform.
Right.
I know what it is. I come from that there. But, you know, when people talk about it, I'm like, well, what exactly is your platform? And I think that they're asking that all the time. What does that even mean?
Right.
Under, over, side by side, going, what? Right.
Good point.
Right. Okay. Well, let's talk about the series. What do we have left for time, Justin? Yeah,
we have about 2 minutes or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're putting together this digital health series, what are you going to do? 4 episodes in a row?
Yeah, probably 4 or 5. Yeah, probably 4 episodes talking about, you mm-hmm. know, customer success, best practices, innovation, implementation, and strategy, and overall strategy. And I'm not sure the exact order, that probably will be the order. But mm-hmm. I think importantly is to talk about it from a provider standpoint. What should providers look for in these types of platforms and systems? and how can they have get the most success out of them, and what should they hold their vendors accountable for? But then also, what I also want to mention what vendors should be doing, what software providers and developers should be creating to best support our industry, what our industry deserves. So I think that's the approach each show will take. So again, customer success, innovation, implementation, and digital health. And again, this is all digital health, customer success, digital health innovation best practices, digital health implementation best practices, and digital health strategy and best practices. So,
Well, that sounds exciting.
Yep. So it should be good. It's I think it's timely. There's, as you mentioned, there's so much coming at these organizations. There's so much information moving around. But if I can, you know, take the strategy that I took to Capitol Hill, is, you know, healthcare and health IT and digital health was very complex. But we would get up there and we would explain it very simply and methodically to, you know, the legislators and their staff to create policy and to move it through Congress and get it signed by the administration in the White House. So that's exactly the approach that I'm going to take here, is to kind of take down some of these very complex topics and break them down into simple concepts. And what are just simple best practices? And that's, you know, that's what we did in the think tank as well. And we'll continue on that in the think tank, is think very simple.
Well, they have the telehealth cliff. Are they talking about?
Well, we're at time, so we may have to hold that one for next time.
All right, you get that on the next one.
We will, Roberta. Thank you so much.
We're going off the cliff. Sorry.
Yeah, we are going off the cliff. No, we'll bring that one back. But Roberta, thank you for joining me on air again. You're always an amazing guest, and we need to do this more often. And thank you all for joining us today. And please tune in weekdays at 2:30 p.m. Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. As always, you can track me on Twitter at HIT Advisor and use the hashtag ThisJustinRadio so I can respond to your comments from the show. If you missed any of this episode or want to hear more, all my shows are posted on Apple iTunes, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Google Play, and TuneIn. Also, you can check out some of the new content we posted at JustinBarnes.com. Thanks, everyone. Stay safe.